I'm so glad you've joined us for Bible study time today. This is Arnett McEntee of the Family Bible Hour. Today, Boyd Nicholson is going to lead in our discussion as we consider together the lost son. I heard just yesterday on my car radio of a son who was lost, and my heart went out to those parents. Friend, you and I were spiritually lost and estranged from God. But Boyd Nicholson's going to tell us all about that, and the son who returned to his father. This is a meditation that was given on our program 1950, and you're enjoying it on cassette 189. It is our prayer that you're going to be richly blessed. Now, to your study with your Bible, your notebook, your study guide, and your cassette, may the Lord bless you in his own special way.
Thank you, Arnett. Shall we ask God's blessing on our program today? Father, we thank Thee, Thou art such a God who is ready to pardon and gracious and merciful and slow to anger. And we pray that Thy word will reach many prodigals today, and they may return to Thy heart. We ask Thee, Father, to bless Thy word for the glory of the Lord Jesus and His precious name. Amen. Last week we were looking at the great parable in Luke chapter 15 about the lost sheep and the lost coin, and the third part of this parable has to do with a lost son. Let me read a few verses from this parable in verse 11. And he said, the Lord Jesus said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me,' and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." And then we know that he dissipated his life until he was in abject poverty, sitting among the swine. And he comes to himself and decides to return home. And in verse 18, he says, "I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." This section is often called the parable of the prodigal son. It's one of the loveliest expressions of the Lord Jesus in the New Testament. Yet it really is a continuation of the parable referred to in the beginning of this chapter, where the first part had to do with the one sheep that was lost out of 100 and the one coin that was lost out of 10. Now this one, the third part, is the one son that was lost out of 2. An examination of this section shows that the Lord was teaching the Pharisees and scribes a profound lesson on the hardness of their hearts towards their needy fellow men, and in contrast, the great love of God. So let's look then at the parable, but I'd like to call it the parable of the prodigal's father, because we really get a glimpse here of the heart of God. And in this connection, I'm going to read a verse from the Old Testament that tells us something about God. "But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not." So in this parable, we discover some things about God, and the first is, he is gracious. The grace of God is that attribute of God's nature by which he satisfies his own love for sinners, and by which he displays towards them his unmerited favor. In a word, the grace of God gives to us that which we do not deserve. The language of the young man in Luke 15 is the cry of the human heart today: "Give me, Not give me what is mine, but give me what is yours. The voice of youth cries out, give me more freedom. The voice of the parent responds, give me more respect. The voice of labor cries, give me more money. The voice of management cries, give me more production. The voice of the people cry, give me more security. And we all know what the voice of the government cries, give me more taxes. This is all evidence of the fact that self is on the throne of the life. When self rules, every noble attribute of human dignity is debased. Love becomes self-love and cries, give me more satisfaction. Pity becomes self-pity and cries, give me more sympathy. The will becomes self-will and cries, give me more of my way. Every sin is, in fact, the result of self on the throne of the life, dictating its desires. The response of the Father was that he gave him his living. The Son had no claim and no rights, yet the Father freely gave to him. So also it is with God to his creature man. We've no rights except judgment, but he giveth to all life and breath, we read. He gave his only begotten Son, says John 3:16. The reason for all the beneficence of God is really to turn the hearts of men to himself, for the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God is not only gracious, but he is merciful. The mercy of God holds back from us what we rightly deserve, his unmitigated judgment. What did the prodigal son deserve? Recall that the Lord Jesus was speaking to men who were the proponents of their law. They would surely remember that the law demanded the death of a rebellious son. He was to be taken to the gates of the city and stoned to death. This prodigal deserved the death penalty. What do we deserve as sinners in the sight of a holy God? Hear what the scriptures say. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18 and 20. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Galatians 3 and 10. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Hebrews 9, 27. That is what we deserve, the curse, death, and judgment. But the wonder of it all is that the mercy of God is extended to all, if by any means they will heed, repent, and believe the gospel, and be saved. What did the prodigal receive? The killing stones? No. The kisses of the Father. Oh, what a picture of the mercy of our God. What a revelation of the heart of God. God is slow to anger, we discover. That prodigal surely deserved the anger of his father. The father could righteously have been angry at the mess of sin his son had fallen into. We read he wasted his substance on riotous living. The father could have been angry at the boy for the sorrow his profligate living had brought to him. It devoured his living in immoral behavior. The father had good reason to be angry at the miserable motive that brought this son home. Why did he come home? To bring joy to his father's heart? Not a bit of it. Listen to him in the far country, sitting among the pigs. I perish with hunger. He came home for the bread he knew was there. Be not deceived, dear reader. God will get angry with sinners one day. All those who have wasted his gifts and refused his way, we read, who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry. But instead of the anger so richly deserved, God showed great kindness. Any old second-hand coat would have been kindness to that rebel son, but the father put on him the best robe. That was great kindness. Any dirty job in the barn would have been kindness. But the place and the ring of sonship, that was great kindness. A bowl of soup in the back kitchen, that would have been a welcome kindness, but the father commanded the fatted calf be brought and killed for a feast. That was great kindness. What a kind God we have. Forgiveness of sins would have been kindness. But to be justified, counted righteous, that's great kindness. The servant's place of menial labor, that would have been kindness. Instead, while we who believe are his servants, more, he brings us into the place and privileges of sons. That's great kindness. To keep the saved ones out of hell, that would have been kindness, but to open all heaven to them, give them eternal life, make them one in Christ to share an eternal inheritance, that is kindness beyond all measure. And God is ready to pardon. What a sight. The father had waited long, watching for his wandering boy. Then one day down the road comes a dejected figure, dissipated and in rags. He draws near. Can it be? Thinks the father. Yes, it is the long-lost son. The father gathers up his robes, and while the son was yet a long way off, what pathos are in those words, a long way off, the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and covered him with kisses, pig-smelling rags and all. Oh, what a wonderful picture of God's readiness to pardon the poor sinner. To Israel, God had said, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a wicked, a disobedient and gainsaying people. His grace and his mercy, his love and his kindness and his readiness to pardon were all extended to that people who had so wandered away from his heart and home. So shall it be for them. After their long and weary wanderings in the far country away from their God, after wasting all the outstretched beneficence of God that they will spend in unholy associations among the nations of the earth, empty at last and without a friend in all the world, they will turn their faces wet with tears and covered in ashes of mourning in true repentance towards their God. And he will be there. He will still be there for them, waiting with outstretched arms of love to receive them. When at last they recognize the Father's rich provision in Christ, they will lament in the words of Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. What a welcome, what a homecoming, what a banquet, what a rejoicing for that people and for their God. While the Master was speaking to Pharisees and scribes of that nation, this parable has a lesson for us today. The Father is waiting for the prodigal's return. He waits for the backsliding believer to come home. Oh, dear reader, if this means you, come home. Come on home to the Father's love, home to his warm embrace, home to the kiss of pardon, to the feast of good things, to the joy of sonship, to the song of praise. Won't you just come home today? Come home. Come home, ye who are weary. Come home earnestly, tenderly. Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. O God, we pray that many today will hear the voice of invitation and turn to God from all the idols that have dissipated their life and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, be saved and brought into the Father's heart and home. We pray for the glory of the Lord Jesus in his precious name. Amen.